started discussing yesterday the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, the mitzvah of rejoicing in Yontif. And we know Bizman, when the Beis HaMikdash Kayam, when the Beis HaMikdash was up, so the mitzvah Simcha was fulfilled by going to Yerushalayim, going to the Beis HaMikdash, and bringing karbanos. And the question is, Bizman HaZeh, when we no longer have the Beis HaMikdash, does the mitzvah of Simcha retain its biblical character? Or since we don't have karbanos and we don't have an obligation to go to the Beis HaMikdash, so maybe Simcha's only drabanan. So we point out, that's a famous dispute between the Rambam and the Bali Tosas, among others. The Rambam's opinion is that the mitzvah Simcha applies even today min HaTorah. It's a biblical mitzvah. And Tosas' opinion is it's linked to the karbanos, it's linked to the Basar Shlamim. And therefore we do have a mitzvah Simcha, but that's only on a rabbinical level. And that's how we explain the Gemara in Moed Katan and Daf Yudalad Amud Beis. Everyone agrees, there's the Psak of the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, there is no Avelus on Yontif. That Avelus and Yontif is a conflict. You can't have Simcha and mourning at the same time. One's got to give. So which one gives? So the Gemara says, there is no Avelus because Simcha's Yontif is a communal mitzvah. The whole Klal Yisrael is obligated in Simchas Yontif, while mourning is a private affair, a mitzvah diyachid, and therefore a public mitzvah beats out a private mitzvah. So according to the way the Rambam and Tosfos learned, it's a double machlokas, it's a double dispute. What's the status of Avelus, and what's the status of Simcha? So the Rambam's opinion is, as I pointed out, Simcha is biblical today, but also the opinion of the Svardim and the Rambam is, Avelus Yom Rishon is biblical. The first day of mourning is also biblical. So how you learn the Gemara is a public biblical beats out a private biblical. And according to Tosfos, it's a double machlokas. He holds not only a simcha, they're not connected per se, but independently, that's the way that comes out, that simcha is a mitzvah derabanan today. There's no Beis HaMikdash. And Avelus is always, that's the minhag Ashkenaz, all Avelus is only rabbinical. And therefore, you'd say a public rabbinical mitzvah beats out a public rabbinical mitzvah beats out a private rabbinical mitzvah. That's how, and that's the opinion of the Bali Tosfos. And it comes up, the interesting question comes up when someone dies on Yontif. So you don't, as I pointed out, Meikar had Din HaGemara, you never got buried on Shabbos. Shabbos is off limits. But Yontif, the Gemara says, Ayidei Akam, they used to bury a Jew on Yontif through a guy. They used to do it directly through a Jew on Yontif Sheni. The minhag in North America is not to Rav Moshe's Truva that many people who aren't obligated in the mitzvah will get involved and end up desecrating Yontif. So the poskim felt it's better not to have any burial on Yontif Sheni and wait to after. Only the more tight-knit communities like the Hasidic communities, I think maybe even Breuers, the minhag is on Yontif Sheni, they do have a kvura because they, I guess the theory is they have more control, whether it's true or not, they have more control over the congregants, the balabatim, and therefore, maybe that's the reason why. But either way, Mikrei Din HaGemara, it's permitted. The minhag of North America is not to. And so the question is, let's say someone gets buried, let's say they died on Pesach, and they had a burial in Chol HaMoed. I had it this year. So there's no Avelus, and there's no mourning until after Yontif. So the question is, what is considered after Yontif? Because, what's the issue? Because the last day of Yontif is Yontif Sheni, which is only Midrabanan. Everyone agrees, in Israel they don't have a last, they have a last day, but it's one day less. The extra day of Yontif we keep in Chutz Laaretz, that's only rabbinical according to everybody. So the question is, what about Avelus on Yontif Sheni Shalgolia? So according to us, Ashkenaz, it's not a question because Avelus is Drabbanan, and Yont is Drabbanan. It's still a public rabbinical mitzvah versus a private rabbinical mitzvah. The issue is, according to the Rambam or the Svardi Poskim, who say Avelus Yom Rishon is Daraisa, so then what do you do when you have a private biblical mitzvah of Avelus going against a public rabbinical mitzvah of Yontif? That seems to be a tension in the Rishonim, Tosis, and Brachas and Av Mem Zayin quotes from the Hilchos Gedolos. So that's a That's a dispute among the later Achronim within the Sfardim, would they have Avelis or not? The issue being whether a private biblical mitzvah beats out a private mitzvah. So that's a...
Is it whether a private biblical mitzvah beats out a public rabbinical?
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's the conflict. If they're all things being equal, then public's going to beat out private. And we know mitzvah derabim has a special status. And there are many exceptions, so we do things. The question is, but how powerful is a mitzvah derabim that to take on the next status? Will a mitzvah derabim derabanan even be able to be at a biblical mitzvah? That's a major machlokas to Rishonim. So we said basically it's a machlokas Rambam and Tosis where the simchas deraisa derabanan. Within that, it's not necessarily connected, but then the question is, within the mitzvah of simcha, is there an absolute mitzvah of simcha, let's say, in terms of how, like with basar shlama? We know the Gemara tells us, ein l'cha simcha lo basar v'yayin. We usually associate simcha with meat and wine. Barbecues, meat, ribs. Mike can answer, Mike knows that better than me. His whole week is full of simcha because he's dealing with me. But there's a mitzvah of simcha is always associated with wine and meat. So the question is, what about Bizman Hazeh? Does the mitzvah of simcha, is it also continued to be linked? Is there an obligation to have meat on Yantif?
Is it clear Gemara
ain't simcha elab b'basar? Yeah, that's Bizman based on Mikdash Kayam.
It doesn't say that all.
Yeah, that's the Gemara in Pesachim. So in the straight Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, Bizman Hazeh is Ein Simcha Elo B'Yayin. That Bizman Hazeh, the Pesach is that, if you will, open up a Shulchan Aruch, and that's important to know as well, that especially we do it on Yantiv anyway because we have Kiddush, but on Chol HaMoed really, one should have wine with the Suda every Chol HaMoed because there's a mitzvah. It's clearly, unless you're driving somewhere, but all things being equal, one should have wine that's part of that. That's clear. It's almost a chiyuv. The Shulchan Aruch brings it down. Yeah, so grape juice is, that gets into what falls under the rubric of wine, but we'll assume grape juice is, because any bori priyagafen. But that's clear. What's the discussion among the later poskim is the chiyuv of having meat. To the Rambam, he seems to learn a more type of subjective simcha, because when the Rambam talks about the mitzvah simcha, and that's why, as we'll see, it's be connected to the shittas. The Rambam does not limit the mitzvah simcha to basar shlam and to bringing the karbanos and going to the. He has a much more relative definition, and he gives an example: what do men like meat and wine? Women like getting them jewelry and clothing for yontif. Kids like treats. In other words, the Rambam himself. Again, there's discussions within the Rambam, and many quote the Rambam as learning is the mitzvah of simcha isn't absolute, it's relative, and therefore, if someone happens to like dairy more than meat, so therefore, based on that, one would be able to, that's how they'll fulfill the mitzvah of simcha, and they'd be permitted to have dairy at a yontif meal. And others hold it's more an absolute, that meat is, even though you don't have the basar shlamim, but then you have to, the next best thing, you have, you know, regular basar, and therefore it's preferable one should still have meat bizman hazeh. So bizman hazeh, so it's probably more recommended than mandatory bizman hazeh in terms of if you take in the view of the general view is if a person, and that's a general issue being a vegetarian in general, it's permissible to be a vegetarian within halacha. The issue is more, why are you a vegetarian? As long as you're a vegetarian for the right reason, meaning, I'll tell you what the wrong reason is, it's thinking that not being one is being cruel to animals. Clearly, the function is, we know, men is created in B'Tselem, and again, one of the purpose of animals, whether it's for clothing, other is for use for human beings. Of course, to use and not to abuse, it's a separate discussion. But as long as to be a vegetarian, you think it's cruel to kill animals to eat food, that might be problematic from a theological point of view. But from a practical point of view, if you're on a special diet, it's a health issue, you just hate the taste of meat or some other pragmatic reasons, then that's fine. But as long as it's not a theological reason, then it's more problematic. And then and then especially with Shavuos coming up, in addition to some people who don't like meat having dairy on any yontif meal, there's more of a minig to have, if more people have dairy on Shavuos than other Yom Tovim. And besides, obviously, first you had to establish that you're allowed to have dairy, and which we did. And then on the reason on Shavuos, the different minhagim brought down why. And so again, within the minhagim on Shavuos, some go two ways. They feel that you should still have meat because of the mitzvah of Simcha and Yontov. What they'll do is they'll have kiddush on the cheesecake and then wait a little bit or just wash their mouth. Or some, I haven't seen people do it, but I've still brought down, is because the issue of having milk and meat in the same meal, so maybe they'll have some meals milk, some meal meat. But however your minig is, if you want to have any dairy, so first you have to establish you're allowed to have dairy. So that we established that it's not an absolute chiyuv, or be maybe recommended to have meat on a yontif meal, but you definitely can have dairy. And then within Shavuos, so they give the different reasons. One famous reason given for dairy is because when was the Torah given? The Torah was given right at Har Sinai, and it says Vayochu Vayishtu. The Jews were partying; they were eating at having a big party at Har Sinai. So we know that many halachas regarding meat, starting from the process of shechita, of slaughtering to salting, to actually it shows up in the plastic in the store. It's a whole long process which involves a lot of knowledge and a lot of work, as opposed to dairy, which it still has to be kosher, but it involves a lot less work to make kosher by dairy. So they point out that this was taught the laws of kosher, so it was too complex for them to go to, because you're allowed to check an animal on yantif for sarach yantif, you're allowed to do those things, but it was too much information in too little time, so they played the safe route, they went dairy. If that's the case, that wouldn't be an issue today. Others bring down Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash, that when the Torah praises Eretz Yisrael, the land of milk and honey, and they connect it to Shavuos as well. I guess that's where they got the store milk and honey. I guess I don't know if it's a good restaurant, but it's definitely a good name to have. But they quote they say halachim. There were two different breads, so maybe one for me, one for Yontov. There are many different minhagim. They bring down. Once it's established that you can have dairy, then different posts can bring down different minhagim. And then it goes, whatever your family minhag is or was.
Yeah, but look, you see that apart from the Rambam, other poskim say that Simcha does mean meat, basar v'yayin, right? Some poskim,
Mayikar din ha-Gemara, the Gemara says it by when the Beis HaMikdash was up.
So nobody says you have to.
No, I wouldn't say no. They do. They just
some
say...
Some preference, some say...
No, some say you have to, but they just say the same halacha that applied in the Beis HaMikdash applies to... If it was an explicit Gemara that Bizman has said, you have to eat basar and yayin, there wouldn't be a discussion. The Gemara says it by Beis HaMikdash, and then the poskim say, doesn't say it, but that's understood. It also, even without a Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah still continues.
So if you follow the other poskim, then you still must have meat.
The question is, according to the Rambam, there's no... And it fits in with Shittasim. The Rambam holds the mitzvah Simcha isn't absolute. That's why even though there's no Beis HaMikdash... He still, the biblical mitzvah Simcha still applies. If you hold that Simcha is only Drabbanan today, that means you're assuming that he seems to be linking it to Bas of a Yayin. And therefore, according to them, you should be having, even if it's only Midrabbanan, but you should be having Bas of a Yayin, because that's the mitzvah, because called Tikkun Drabbanan Ka'in Daraisa Tikkun. When the Chachamim set up a mitzvah Drabbanan, they usually pattern after a biblical mitzvah.
If you say it's a preference now, I think you said maybe it's a preference, it's only if you follow the Rambam. If you follow the other poskim, it's not a preference.
I'm saying that's how it... If you're just looking at one sheet, then we could say according to them... I'm saying the consensus of the poskim. But if you go by either opinion, then I could give you a... What does this person say? I wasn't talking about one person. I was talking more of the consensus. That the consensus would be is you can have dairy, but it's still preferable to have the meat. So it's an interesting dispute. So there's a machlokas in general, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, and how do you celebrate any of the Yom Tovim? How do you spend your day? So Rabbi Elazar says either you could be primarily sitting and learning and davening all day, or you could choose to be eating, drinking, and sleeping. Rabbi Yeshua says, Chatzi l'Hashem, v'chatzi l'Hashem. You have to split your day. half to, you know, whether it's literal or not, a further discussion, but you have to split your day half to God and half to yourself. In other words, how do they come to their opinions? Because there's an apparent contradiction in the psukim. One pasuk says atzeres, meaning yantif, it will be assembly to God. Another pasuk says atzeres tiyelachem. There are two psukim which imply different results. One pasuk implies the focus should be on davening and learning, a more spiritual celebration. And another pasuk seems to imply yantif should be falachem, should be a more physical, sleeping, learning, eating. So they point out that, so how do you reconcile? We know we have a principle we're going to read to them. When you have two psukim contradicting each other, how do you try to resolve it? You find the third pasuk and see which way it tells you. What do you do when there is no third pasuk? That's the machlokes, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua. We don't have a third pasuk. So Rabbi Yeshua says, if you don't have a third pasuk, split it half and half. And Rabbi Elazar says, no, you have a choice, either or. That's the machlokes. And in fact, the Rambam takes it in specific order. It has to be first chatzi, we passing like Rabbi Yeshua, chatzi l'Hashem, chatzi l'Hashem, first the Friday night dot, and the Rambam extends it to Shabbos as well. So first you daven Friday night or yontif, then you eat the meal morning. It's not just to pick your own order, it's a specific order, chatzi l'Hashem, v'chatzi l'Hashem. So this whole machlokas, Rabbi Elazar Yeshua, is only by Pesach and by Sukkot. But the Gemara says, even Rabbi Elazar, who normally gives you an option to learn most of the day, of course you have to make your minimal kiddush and have, as I say, there's a big difference between a weeknight dinner and a yontif dinner. A weeknight dinner takes about 5 minutes. A yontif dinner takes about 3 hours. So of course he says you have to make a kiddush and do the basics, but basically the rest of the day you're focusing on your learning and davening. But even Rabbi Elazar, who gives you the option of learning and davening 99% of the day on Pesach and Sukkot, even he agrees when it comes to Shavuos, you have to split your day. You have to have a sudas yontif. You have to have a basic meal. And why? The Gemara, you know why? And the Gemara says not only by, because the three exceptions the Gemara says is by Shavuos, Purim, and Shabbos. Those are the three the Gemara brings down, that there's a chi of Suda, more than just, even Rabbi Elazar, who normally says you don't have to have a big festive meal, every Shabbos he agrees, the karasa of Shabbos oneg, and then he says it by Shavuos, and he says it by Purim. Why Shavuos? So the Gemara says, because it's Yom Shenitna Bo Torah. It's the day the Torah was given. So all the mafarsh and one of the commentators, what? It's like a no-soap radio. It's just the opposite. He's telling me, by all the other Yom Tovim, I can sit and learn all day. But come Shavuos, the day of Torah, sorry, you can't sit and learn. I want you eating today. What's the logic there? So that's what the mafarshim point out. And it's based on a Ramban in Parshas Mishpatim. The Ramban, as we mentioned, at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, which goes back to Har Sinai, it talks about the Jews were vayochu vayishtu. They were eating and drinking. They were having a big suda. And again, different Midrashim, we'll take the positive approach. They were doing the right thing. So the Ramban points out, what do we see from here? We see from here, anytime you have any accomplishment by Torah, in fact, that's the custom when someone makes a siyum, they finish a certain amount of masechta, or they have a, you know, whether it's just cake and soda, or they make a whole suda out of it. Anytime you have any accomplishment by Torah, you make a simcha. Like, in fact, that's the Ramban Chita by Berchas HaTorah. The bracha we make in the morning before we learn is, it's a Berchas Shevach V'Hodah. We're thanking God. Thank you, God, you gave us the Torah. So the Ramban writes, anytime you have any accomplishment by Torah, Har Sinai, how do you have to, have a suda Hodah? In fact, in the Tziv writes, by the carbon toda, there's a carbon you have to bring after, let's say, a miracle happened. You recover from a major illness, you got out of jail, the ocean, whatever was the danger. So there's a special bracha you make. It's called, you know, Birkas HaGomel. So during the time of when we had a Beis HaMikdash, you had a carbon toda, you actually brought a carbon. So a carbon toda is kodshim kalam. It's a certain type of carbonas. Normally, they gave you a couple of days to eat it. But what's unique about the carbon toad is they gave you one, you had to finish it by the next morning. And if you leave it over, it's a serious offense. And the rabbi said, you know what? You even have to finish it by midnight. And what's amazing about it is it's a tremendous amount of food. It's 40 loaves, a mix of chametz and matzah. There's no way one person can eat all of that in that limited amount of time. So what does Nitziv say? That's the Yisod. Anytime a person's making a Suda Sodah, you're making Hodah, you're telling one what a tremendous miracle God did for you. You can't do it. No one lives in an island. You got to invite people over and share the tremendous joy with other people. In fact, so that's what the Mefarshim point out. That by other religions, we know people believe in going, what's Kedusha? What's the way a person should live? Living in a monastery, not getting married, caves, staying away from Olam Hazeh, staying away from people. That's how you reach a level of Kedusha. But when it comes to Torah, Judas is the opposite. The Torah says, you might have thought it's the day the Torah was given, okay, I'll just hide in a cave today, I won't even come out, I'll just take a Gemara with me, a Chumash, and I'll just sit and learn all day, and that's what it's all about. But no, it's Yom Shin about Torah, you have a Chiyav Sudas Haldah, you have a Chiyav to have a meal, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and like all Sudas, you have to do it together with others. In addition to Sudas Yantiv, as the Rambam points out, the Iker Suda, the Iker Simcha, isn't just to fill our belly with some good ribs and steak. That certainly doesn't help. But the Iker Suda is to help to invite the people who need a Suda, the Aniyim, the more vulnerable. And that's the ultimate Simcha, is to make people who need it, make them happy. So that's part of the concept of the Suda Sada as well, is when you have a tremendous nace that happened, tremendous thing, God gave us the Torah, so you have to join in Simcha. So Zafka Yom Shininabo Torah, that's the day you have to have a Suda. And in fact, that's why also Purim. Why do we have a Suda on Purim? We usually contrast Purim and Hanukkah. They're both post-biblical, and they have many similarities. But one difference is Purim, there's a Chiyav Suda. Hanukkah, there's not. According to the Rambam, there is, but we assume it's praiseworthy to have a meal, but you don't have to have one. On Purim, there's a Chiyav Suda. So the question is why? So there's the famous answer of the Levush, we'll skip now because it's not no Geyatas, but the interesting Nitziv writes in the Shultis, because the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that what happened on Purim, that when it says the Jewish people were standing on the Mount Sinai, and God tilted the mountain and said, if you accept the Torah, good, if not, here will be your burial. So then the Gemara says, aye, but they were forced, under duress doesn't count. They said, you're right, but during the time of Purim, Kimu v'kibbu, the Jewish people reaccepted the Torah v'simcha. So that's why we have a Suda on Purim. Purim's also, it's a reenactment of Mayim Har Sinai. We reaccept it. Anytime you have an accomplishment by Torah, you have a Chiyav Suda. The third one was Shabbos. It says, and the Torah was given on Shabbos, but it says, v'karasiko Shabbos oneg. So the Gemara learns out. Even Rabbi Elazar agrees you have to have a Suda on Shabbos. So within that shita, so then you have some say dafka meat, but others say chicken today. You know, it's functional. Chicken's functional meat, because biblically speaking, it's not meat. So if it would fit in, and so according to Tosis, it was simply only drabanan, and it's absolute, you could argue maybe drabanan, we view chicken as meat, and therefore even chicken. So then within that you have, they would say chicken is better than fish or dairy. But there's still a little prevalence even more to meat, but chicken is also, yeah.
Yontov, it's yayin, the basar. And on Shabbos, is it basar v'dagim?
Yeah, that's what the song says. But also, again, even though it's interesting, that more people have meat on Shabbos than on Yontov, and it would be halacha. If you're going to pick your choice, let's say this on Shavuos, you're better off al pi halacha. Well, it's Yontov anyway, so it wouldn't make a difference. But let's say, a lot of people wouldn't have dairy on Shabbos, but I'd have dairy on Yontif, which is fine. I'm saying practically speaking, you could, because oneg also is subjective, but there's more grounds for having meat on Yontif and dairy on Shabbos, but in terms of from a pure halachic point of view. But either way, it's fine both ways, but I'm saying if you're going to choose one, all things being equal, there's more of a reason to have dairy on Shabbos than on Yontif.
Dagim, is that just a sign of that you're going the extra mile?
Yeah, that's good. Well, because that's another is, besides having meat on Yontif, one should have a big, a festive meal, so by more things you have, and you can just take a little piece of chicken and put a little baked beans, and that's it. The quality of the meal makes a difference also,
baked
not just
beans?
The...
What are you crazy?
Exactly. How did it give the extreme?